Vita is able to be here today. Been missing her. She hadn't seen me in a while. She said, "You've lost weight." So we love Sister Vita today. The book of Jude is a small little book just before the book of Revelation. So if you want to turn over there with me, the book of Jude, we're going to read a couple of verses in chapter 1, the only chapter of the book of Jude. We're going to read verses 3 and 4 today. "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, this Apostle Jude was, he said, "I was going to write of our common salvation," or basically he was saying, "I was going to write another gospel. We've got four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John." He said, "I was thinking I would just write my own testimony, write of the common salvation." He wanted to write about the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, like the other writers of the gospels did. But he said, "But I had this compulsion of the Spirit, this urgency of the Spirit. It was more needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith." Earnestly contend for the faith. And so instead of another gospel, he responded to the voice of the Spirit of God and to warn about false teachers. And he lists the errors that they were presenting there in that second verse that we read. It says that they were turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. They were saying, "Well, we've got the grace of God. That means we've got coverage, insurance, the grace of God. We can do whatever we want to do. We can live any old way we want to live. We can live a lascivious life." And so he was pointing out that is an error. And then the other error that's in that verse is that he mentions is they denied the only Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ. They were denying the fact that Jesus Christ was truly deity, the Son of God. Those were two errors that he was pointing out. And he said, you have to contend for the faith. The word to contend literally means, it really is describing like an athlete that's in a very heated contest to win a battle over an opponent. And so I think we all recognize that we're living in some pretty serious times right now when the truth is hard to discern, when the truth is being denied. And he said, earnestly can contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints, meaning that we don't need any new revelations. As a matter of fact, if someone says, "I have a new revelation other than what's in the pages of the Word of God," beware. Beware. Now, that doesn't mean that God cannot give you divine revelation. It's always going to be a revelation of the truth of God's Word. He's going to open up the pages and illuminate the Word of the Lord to you so you can see it more clearly and understand it in a more personal way. And that's the way that God speaks to us in these times. But we are called in these last days to earnestly contend for the faith, to be in the struggle, to fight the battle, and to never ever allow any of the deceptive lies of this generation to convince us of anything other than that which was once delivered unto the saints. The Apostle Paul warned about this in the book of Galatians. He said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ, unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, that's pretty strong. Though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you other than that which is preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so I say, and now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Strong words from the Apostle Paul that we as believers are to be defenders of the faith. We are to earnestly contend for the faith. And we are in a generation, we are living in a time right now when it's really important to take a stand for the Word of God. Amen. Stand up for the truth of God's Word. You can't do that if you don't know what the Bible says. So that means if you're going to contend for the faith, you're going to have to know what the Word of God says. So as believers, we have to be willing to read it and study it and meditate on it and allow the Word of God to be a part of us, an engrafted part of us, so that whenever we face the challenges of this generation, we know how to respond. We can respond with the truth of God's Word. How serious is it? Well, we live in a time right now when the Bible is not just made fun of, but in many sectors, the Bible is despised. It's hated. As a matter of fact, it's called hate speech by some. And there's many today, if you just preach the purity of the Word of the Lord, it's offensive to a lot of people in our generation right now. Charlie Kirk was killed, not just because he was political. He was killed because the whole basis of his political philosophy was the Word of God. He taught the Word of the Lord. Minutes before he was killed, he talked about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ to thousands of young people. And then a couple of minutes later, he's murdered. He was killed because of the Word of the Lord. There are a lot of political people that are out there, but this was different. This was a young man who professed to know the Lord, that followed the Lord, and preached the gospel on the campuses everywhere that he went. And so the offense was God's Word. That was the offense. You say, well, how serious is it? Well, right now in the UK, in Great Britain, there is a huge push to ban the Bible, to completely ban the Bible as hate speech. The United States is not that far behind them. We usually follow right in the pattern of what's going on in the UK. And so there is a serious need for us in these days to know the Word of God, to be defenders of the faith, and to earnestly contend for the faith. And it may require some sacrifice. It may require us to suffer, but stand for the truth in the face of a generation that does not want the truth. Thankfully, there is a move right now in our country. It's very encouraging. And I praise God for what's happening and for every effort to turn to God. I've just, in the last couple of weeks, there's been a big surge in people going to church, a big surge in people buying copies of the Bible, reading the Bible, that have never read the Bible before. Praise God for that. And certainly there's hope whenever people are turning to the truth of the Word of God. But as believers, Christians, we're called of God. And Jude was compelled by the Spirit of God to tell that generation, which is not really unlike the generation you and I are living in right now, there are false teachers, there are false philosophies and doctrines that are being promoted, and you have to put up a fight. You have to resist it. You have to earnestly contend for the faith. Amen. There's a close comparison to today, things going on in our country, and how that they were in the days of the book of Judges. In the days of the book of Judges, they did that which was right in their own eyes. That verse is repeated two times. So it's kind of the central message of the book of Judges. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. You know, the book of Judges covers about 300 years of Israel's history. They came into the promised land. They began to go and to take the areas that were allotted to the different tribes. They began to take possession of the lands. They were commanded by God, go in and drive out the inhabitants, destroy the inhabitants. You can't commingle with them. You can't be a part of that pagan philosophy. If you are, you'll be affected. God knew they would be affected by the attractive nature of that pagan worship that they were involved in. It was so appealing to the flesh that they would go after Baal. They would go after Ashtaroth. That's why he wanted it all wiped out of the promised land. And so really, in the book of Judges, it is a story of the children of Israel who begin well. They go in at the very, actually, the very first chapter of Judges, Judah and Simeon go in and completely take possession of the areas that that was promised to them. And they had been commanded to drive out and destroy the inhabitants. And they followed through and they did what God told them to do. But then it says that there is a generation that doesn't know the Lord and doesn't know. I'm going to turn back over to the book of Judges. It says the people served the Lord. This is chapter 2 in verse number 7. The people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, the Mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. There arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And then it says, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So we have a call of God to earnestly contend for the faith. And I want you to notice some things that were going on in the times of the judges that also is happening right now, which requires that we as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ earnestly contend for the faith. Amen. Praise God. First of all, they were commanded to drive out all the inhabitants and destroy the Canaanites and all the pagan worship. Drive them all out. That was the command of the Lord. We have been called as believers, if we're going to earnestly contend for the faith, we've been called by believers to separate ourselves unto the Lord. Wherefore, come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. That's the command. That was the command that was given to Israel to come out. But instead of coming out from them, they adapted to them. They began to fall into the same pattern. And so Israel, all throughout the book of Judges, six different times, they fell into this pattern, this cycle of sin. They would rebel against God, and then they would face the consequences for the rebellion. Then when they were in trouble, then they would cry out to God and repent of their failures. And then the Lord would restore them once again. Then for a while they would have peace and rest, and then they would fall right back into that rebellion. That cycle went six different times over a 300-year period because they did not separate themselves from what was going on around them and the influences that was around them. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We have been called not to be influenced, but to be influencers. We have been called to be salt and light in the world that we live in right now. We're not to be, we are in it, but we're not to be of it. And certainly we live in the world, but we are to be influencing the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Earnestly contending for the faith. Amen. And one of the ways we do that is we separate ourselves from the world and the influences of the world. Obviously, you can't separate yourself completely from everything that's going on in the world, but you intentionally determine, I'm not going to be of this world. I'm not going to live according to the dictates of this world. I'm going to live for the Lord. I'm going to honor the Lord, and I'm going to earnestly contend for the faith. Another area that's important for us to take notice of here in the book of Judges is that it was after the leaders were gone that they fell into their rebellion. When Joshua was gone and all the fathers that were a part of that age, when they were all gone, then they fell into their rebellion once again. So if we're going to earnestly contend for the faith, there has to be strong leadership. Amen. Strong leadership. That means in every area, there needs to be strong leadership in the church, strong leadership in the family. One of the reasons that we have many of the troubles that we have in our government is weakness of leadership. We need strong leaders. And, you know, even the Lord Jesus Christ was a great example of the kind of person that we need to be a leader, someone that is of a servant spirit, those that have spiritual integrity, those that have wisdom that's from God and understand how to apply their knowledge with wisdom, and many other qualities that are needed in those that are leaders. But leaders have to be bold to do what is right. Amen. If we can have strong, steady, godly leadership, it makes all the difference in all of our lives. Amen. Amen. You remove the leaders, like when Joshua died and he was gone, then it was almost as if immediately they turned away from God and went their own way. Then they begin to do what was right in their own eyes. And each time when they would fall into the cycle of sin and repent, oh God, forgive us for our sins and our failures. Forgive us. Then God would raise up another judge. 12 different judges in the book of Judges. He would raise up a leader, someone that could help them, someone that could point them in the direction of the things of God. So we all need spiritual leaders in our life, do we not? We really do, in every area. Mothers and dads, you have a big responsibility to be a leader to your family, a spiritual leader to your children and to your family. Amen? It's a big responsibility. Amen. Mom and dad, you're not their friend, you're their parent. You have to have the courage to say no to them sometimes. Not all the time, but one of your responsibilities is just to say, no, that's not the direction our family wants to go. We're not going that direction. We're going to follow the Lord. We're going to earnestly contend for the faith. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, this little device right here is an amazing device. Even though mine is old and worn out, it's still a pretty powerful computer. And it's an amazing device that can be used for a lot of things good. But let me tell you, it's also as dangerous as can be. It is dangerous. Amen. And with that, I would just say to you parents, if you have allowed your children, your young people, to have phones, it should be with the condition that you say, but I'm the parent.
That means you don't have your own little private world in the phone world. It means that I can have your phone at any time, and I can read your messages, and I can see where you've been scrolling, and because I'm the parent, I'm the leader, I'm responsible, I'm the godly leader, and everyone needs to subject yourself. Amen. Sometimes my wife will say, "Let me see your phone." And she's not sneaking up on me or trying to, but I immediately hand it to her and give it to her. She's got some reason for wanting to go through my phone, and it's okay with me because everybody needs accountability in their life. Amen. Amen. So moms and dads in every area of responsibility, every area, be the spiritual leader. Point them to Jesus. Point them to the Word of God. Be the leader. That's what it means to earnestly contend for the faith. Whenever there is the absence of spiritual leadership, then there's going to be immediately moving in a direction away from the Lord. Train up a child in the way he should go, in the direction he should go. Amen. We have a responsibility, moms and dads, grandpas, grandmas, we have a responsibility. That's the way to go. That's the direction. And if you see your children, your family going in a direction that's away from the things of the Lord, then you have a responsibility to be a bold spiritual leader in their life. Amen. And point them in the ways of the Lord. Praise God. If we're going to earnestly contend for the faith, and we have to have spiritual authorities, spiritual leaders in our lives. Amen. If you're going to earnestly contend for the faith, then you're going to have to do what is right in the eyes of the Lord. That's number three. Do what is right in the eyes of the Lord. Judges 17, number 6. In those days, there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. You remove the spiritual leader, and then everyone just determines what they think is right. What they believe is right. God has established spiritual leadership, spiritual authority to keep us moving in the direction that we need to go after God. Amen. Without that, then we do what is right in our own eyes. That's what they did. Proverbs 14 and 12 says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." It may seem like it's right. You may think that it's right, but the absence of spiritual leadership, you're going to find yourself going the wrong direction. There's a lot of warnings that came from the Lord. The last of the judges in the book of Judges was a man by the name of Samson, who was born with a call of God. He was born to be a spiritual leader. He was born to be a deliverer for Israel, is what the Bible says. And God was going to use him mightily. And he was a Nazarite, so he had a covenant with God to follow the Lord, to honor the Lord, but he failed. Desperately, he failed. Where was the area of his failure? The biggest area of his failure was his eyes. That's where his biggest failure was. You can see that he did not heed the warning. The warnings have come from the Lord. You can go back to the book of Deuteronomy. You'll see all the warnings that came to Israel. Deuteronomy 6 and 18. Thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 22. They that do that which is good and right in the sight of the Lord. Deuteronomy 13 and 18. When thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God to keep all his commandments which I have commanded thee this day, to do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord. Also in Deuteronomy 21, there's at least four places, and I think more than that, that they were commanded to do that which was right in the sight of the Lord. What does that mean? It means that there was always to be an awareness that they were living under the eye of the Lord. That there was an awareness that God was always watching, and that you should live your life under the all-seeing eye of the Lord. Amen. Nothing is hid from the Lord. It is all before the Lord. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, it says in Proverbs 15 in verse 3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding
the evil and the good, God is aware. When they moved out of that understanding, when they turned away from that and lived their life as if God was not interested in what they were doing, then they fell into sin. And Samson's problem was his eyes. He got his eyes off of God, off the covenant between him and the Lord, and what his purpose was as to be a deliverer for Israel. And he got his eyes on other things. Actually, he saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. That's what he saw. And he went after that and told his parents, get her for me. That's what I want. Then he went down to Gaza, and there was a harlot. And he saw her and he wanted her. His eyes kept getting him in trouble. Judges 16 and 20, it says that the Philistines finally came upon him once he gave in and revealed the source of his power and his strength. And when he did, it was his eyes that they went after. Notice, he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. And the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. Now, thankfully, that wasn't the absolute end of Samson. But what a horrible, horrible thing that he faced, because he could not keep his focus upon the things of the Lord, because he forgot that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good and the wickedness that he performed. God was watching. If you're going to earnestly contend for the faith, then you always have an awareness that God is watching. The eyes of the Lord are upon us. Thankfully, at the end, Samson was able to destroy more Philistines than he did at any time in his life, and a great victory came in the destruction of the Philistines. But what a price to pay for his failure in turning away from the voice of the Lord. So we have all been called of God to earnestly contend for the faith. Amen. It may require that we all take a stand in places where it's difficult to stand. Stand up for the Lord. Stand up for the word of the Lord. Defend the faith. Defend the word of the Lord. And to speak the truth. Obviously, speak the truth in love to a world that needs to hear it. But at the same time, be bold. Be courageous. Stand forth in the face of all of the lies and all of the opposition of this world. Take a stand and earnestly contend for the faith. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. We've been called as the saints of God to stand up for the truths of God's word, earnestly contend for the faith in these last days when it's being challenged. The word of God is being ridiculed and degraded. But we have a responsibility, folks, to stand strong, to earnestly contend for the faith. Amen. Father, thank you for your word. And thank you, Lord, for the call of God that's upon every one of us to follow the plan of God. And I just thank you, Lord, that you are raising up those in these last days, Lord, that will know your word and will defend your word and will live our lives according to the pattern of the scripture. And I ask, Lord, that you would stir the hearts of people today, Lord, and remind us that we do have a responsibility to earnestly contend for the faith in these last days. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, everybody? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord.